One of the voices that speaks to us most eloquently from this moment in history is that of a humble yet heroic sharecropper's daughter. A woman whose personal sacrifice and commitment to the civil rights movement has power to inspire us yet today. Fannie Lou Hamer. In the following half hour, originally broadcast by Pacifica in 1965, you will hear her story from her own lips. This is not an echo. This is From the Vault.
With me is Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer, a member of the Executive Committee of the Freedom Democratic Party and a candidate of that party for the United States Congress. Mrs. Hamer, tell us a little about yourself, what part of the South you come from, and how you got involved in Freedom Democratic Party politics.
Thank you very much. My home is in Roosevelt, Mississippi. It's located in the Black Belt of Mississippi, known as the Delta area. And actually, the way I got involved in the Freedom Democrat Party is we tried to get in the regular Democrat Party. We tried from the precinct level up to the county and from the county to the state. I remember when we tried to attend the precinct meeting at the little polling place in Roosevelt, it was eight of us, eight Negroes, went up to visit the precinct meeting, and the door was locked and we couldn't get in, and we stood on the outside and held our own meeting. We elected our chairman and our secretary, our delegates and our alternates, and we passed the law to resolution, and we moved from the precinct level on through the county and up to the state. The 24th of April in 1964, we organized at the Masonic Temple in Jackson, Mississippi, the Mississippi Freedom Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. And then the 24th of August in 1964, we went to the National Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey, to challenge the seating of the regular delegation from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. In which you were unsuccessful.
That's right. We was offered two votes at large as a compromise.
In the convention.
In the convention. Mm-hmm. But after 100 years, we wouldn't accept a compromise because 63,000 people at that time was registered with the Freedom Democrat Party, so we didn't compromise. So again, in January, beginning the 4th of January, the three candidates from the Freedom Democrat Party, Mrs. Gray, Mrs. Devine, and I went up before the door of the House of Representatives to contest the seating of the five representatives from Mississippi, and we was turned away. We didn't go there to be seated because we knew from the beginning that we wouldn't be seated, but we wanted to explain our side, whereas in a state that 42% of the people can't register, they wasn't representing us. And I think somebody, it's time now for somebody to be in Congress that's going to represent the people of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And we wasn't allowed to go inside, but that didn't stop the challenge. We did have that day 149 congressmen that stood up against these people being seated. So we are still working with this challenge, and we hope by the last of this month, which is August, that we will have a chance to unseat these congressmen. Mm. Because actually, this voting bill that the president passed last week, it doesn't mean anything. And I'm not looking for a voting bill in 1965 when they are not enforcing the voting bill and our voting rights with the 15th Amendment, which guaranteed us the same rights to vote from the 15th Amendment in 1870. And at that time, 1870, Mississippi was readmitted back to the Union because they promised at that time that they wouldn't do anything to disenfranchise Negroes to keep them from registering to vote. So now it's a matter of a violation of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And what I'm curious to see, do the Constitution of the United States mean anything? So far, it hadn't worked, and I'm sick of seeing this kind of stuff on paper. We want them to do something about it because we are a part of America, because we didn't come here on our own. Our parents and our descendants was from Africa, and we didn't come on our own, but we do want to be treated as human beings. And I'm fighting for human right, not for equal right.
Now, what has been happening to the fortunes of the Freedom Democratic Party? Has its membership been growing?
Well, it should be. I'm not sure, but it should be close to 78,000.
Really? And how are they organized and where? Are they across Mississippi and Alabama only or
Well,
wider?
Actually, right now, the Mississippi Freedom Democrat Party is only in Mississippi. But they have something, I would say, similar to the Freedom Democrat Party. It's beginning to pick up in other states, you know. People as Negroes in other states, even in the North, in New York City, in Brooklyn, is beginning to run candidates, you know, in that
really?
Area. That's right.
Must be scaring the daylights out of the Democratic Party to split the vote for them.
It might be, but that is what's happening
That's
now.
That's one way of changing the Democratic Party.
And it's one way of bringing a change, you know, for the poor people all across the country.
Before joining the Freedom Democratic Party, Mrs. Hamer had been a sharecropper on a Mississippi plantation. Her husband also worked there. He had advanced to the position of foreman. But even for a foreman, which is the high point of opportunity for a Negro there, life on a southern plantation meant long hours, low wages, humiliating conditions of work, and perhaps worst of all, no hope of being accorded fair treatment, a decent standard of living, and respect as a human being. However, Negroes were now demanding equal rights, and thousands were attempting to register to vote for the first time in their lives. Among them was Mrs. Hamer. Immediately after taking the literacy test to qualify for registration as a voter in Mississippi, she learned what it costs to challenge the system of white supremacy and white privilege in that state.
So I was forced away from the plantation because I wouldn't go back and withdraw, you know, my literacy test after I had tried to take it. I wouldn't go back, and I had to leave, and my husband was forced to stay on this plantation until after the harvest season was over, and then the man that we had worked for, he'd taken the car, and the most of the few things we had been stolen, and I've been in jail, and I've been beat.
Yeah, tell us about that. On what grounds did they jail you?
It wasn't no grounds. You know, I don't understand that until today. I had been to a voter registration workshop, you know, they were just training and teaching us how to register to pass the literacy test. And it was giving us enough training that we could tell other people, you know, how to pass the literacy test. So we had attended a workshop from the 3rd of June through the 8th. We finished the workshop on the 8th, and then we got the Continental Trailway bus to come back to Mississippi. And we got to Winona, Mississippi, I would say about 10:30 that Sunday morning on our way back to Greenwood. And that was, we had got in 25 miles of the voter registration headquarters. And the bus stopped in Winona, you know, at the bus terminal. And four people got off of the bus, you know, to use the restaurant to get food. And two people got off, used the washroom while I was still on the bus. When I looked through the glass, I saw the people rush out. And one of the girls who had gone in the washroom, she just got back on the bus. And I stepped off to see what had happened. And Miss Ponder told me that it was a state highway patrolman and a chief of police on the inside, and began to tap them on the shoulders with billy clubs and ordered them to get out. And I said, well, this is Mississippi. So I got back on the bus, and as soon as I was seated, I saw them when they began to put the five people, what was, you know, off the bus, but they wasn't over 6 feet from the bus, began to put them in the highway patrolman's car. And I stepped off again because I was holding one of the ladies' irons, you know, that they was arresting. And she said, get back on the bus, Miss Hamer. And then I heard somebody scream from the car that she was in and said, get that one there. And then a white man stepped out of a car and told me I was under arrest. And when he opened the door and I went to get in the car, he kicked me, and they carried me on down to the county jail where they had the other highway patrolmen had carried the other five. And they, you know, when I walked in with the two white men that had carried me down, and they cursed me all the way down. They would ask me questions, and when I would try to answer, they would tell me to hush. And when I walked inside of the booking room, one of the policemen went over and jumped up on one of the Negroes' feet that was with us, and then they just began to, you know, put us in cells. And I was put in a cell with Miss Yvester Simpson, and after I was put in this cell, I could just hear some horrible screams and horrible sounds, you know, of licks. And I saw one of the girls was 15 years old, was with us, when she passed my cell, and she was real bloody. And then they asked the little man that cleaned up the jail to go inside and mop up that blood. And then I heard some more screaming, and I heard some awful sounds. And I would hear somebody when they say, "Can't you say yes, sir, nigger? Can't you say yes, sir?" And they would call her names that I wouldn't want to go on tape. And she said, "Yes, I can say yes, sir." So I said, and she said, "I don't know you well enough." And I would hear when she would hit the floor again. And finally she began to pray, and she asked God to have mercy on these people because they didn't know what they was doing. And after a while they passed my cell door with this young woman, Miss Annelle Ponder, and one of her eyes looked like blood, and her hair was standing up on her head, and her clothes had been torn from the shoulder down to the waist. And then three white men came to my cell, and one of them was a state highway patrolman because he was wearing a little silver plate across his pocket that said John L. Bassinger. And he asked me where I was from, and I told him I was from Ruval. And he said, "I'm going to check that." And he went out, and I guess he called Ruval. And they didn't like me in Ruval because I worked with voter registration there. And when he came back, he said, "You damn right." He said, "You're from Ruval, all right. And we gonna make you wish you was dead." And they led me out of that cell into another cell. And he gave a Negro prisoner a blackjack. And he ordered me to lay down on a bunk bed. And a Negro prisoner said, "Do you want me to beat her with this, sir?" And he said, "You damn right. Because if you don't, you know what I'll do for you." And I laid down on the bunk like he ordered me to do. And the first Negro beat me. He beat me until he was exhausted. And after he beat, the state highway patrolman ordered the second Negro to take the blackjack. And during the time he was beating, I began to work my feet because that was a horrible experience. And the state highway patrolman ordered the first Negro that had beat to sit on my feet while the second one beat, and I just began to scream where I couldn't control it. And then the white man got up and began to beat me in my head. I have a blood clot now in the artery to the left eye and a permanent kidney injury on the right side from that beating. These are the things that we go through in the state of Mississippi, just trying to be treated like a human being. But still, this is called a part of America.
I suppose it's a naive question, but is there no possibility of you making a civil complaint or criminal complaint or whatever it would amount to against these people for this beating?
The Justice Department brought a suit against these five law officials from Mississippi, and they had their trial in Oxford, and they had every evidence in the world if it ever was going to be any people convicted. Because we had flew to Washington, D.C. and had the pictures made, and they had the pictures today of what happened to us in that jail. The bus driver, they even had the waitresses from Winona at the bus terminal that said we hadn't done anything. We hadn't done no demonstration. The Negroes that they forced to beat me, they came and they told the truth. They told how these white men had made them drink corn whiskey before they did beat us because they figured, you know, if they didn't have something in them, that they might not do it. They told all of that, and nothing have been done. Those same men, I guess, are still wearing their guns.
It puzzles me that Negroes in the South have not set up, in a way, territories of their own, with their own armed people. We've got the Deacons now in the South, this armed defense organization, so that you're outside of the control of police officials like this. Why has this not happened? Is it because the white people there are so powerful that such a rebellion has been impossible?
They are very powerful in the state of Mississippi. But some of the people, I think, is beginning to get where now they just don't care. They are beginning to see if they try to do anything for themselves, well, they'll be killed anyway.
By the police officials,
because it's nowhere that I would call myself going in the state of Mississippi to be protected by a police official, because they are worse than a savage.
The federal government isn't able to effectively give you security.
No, because, as you know, the three civil rights workers that was murdered in Mississippi, they say their civil rights hadn't been violated, but they are dead.
And one of their killers is still the sheriff.
That's right. In fact, the same men, Rainey and Price, was assisting the people across the street when they was having memorial service this year for Cheney, Goodman, and Michael Schroner. Mm-hmm. And Michael Schroner was a Jewish person, but he was one of the greatest men I ever met.
You knew him?
I knew him very well, and his wife, Rita. And you know, I couldn't have went there for a memorial service not and let these same two police officials guard me across the street. I wouldn't have been low enough to low their death to go across the street, let them guard me across the street. When if it hadn't been for them, they wouldn't have been dead.
What do you feel about the Deacons? This is frightening some white people, but I can't understand why they don't understand that this is a natural development.
I think it's one of the greatest things that ever happened. In fact, I admire those people. I respect those people because they are doing what I believe every Negro under the heaven feel if he doesn't have the guts to say it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of Malcolm X?
Malcolm X was one of the best friends I ever had. A remarkable man. Oh, he was a great man. In fact, I had invited Malcolm X to come to Mississippi, and he was supposed to come to Mississippi on Monday and was killed that Sunday.
Now, he had belonged to the Muslim organization. Are the Muslim groups making much progress in the South? They seem mostly to be in the North.
Mostly in the North, because a whole lot of things that the Muslims stand for, I don't agree with their policies. But I did respect Malcolm X, and Malcolm X was a great man.
What can you think of that the Muslims advocate that you don't agree with? Can you think of
one something? Of the things is setting up a separate state. You know, just give the Negroes a state. They want a state, you know, set up. It would have to be more than a state for 20 million black people in this country, but just to have so much separation, you know, that we couldn't, you know, we wouldn't have to deal with white on no terms, and just put us out, what I would say, on a deserted island. And what we had thought of with a lot of white people in the country, we'd last about 2 days.
It's sort of a reverse racism.
Yes, and just be wiped off the map. Because, you see, I take this stand that I don't see all people as bad. If we didn't have some good white people, it wouldn't be anybody standing up, you know, trying to help bring about a change and make things better, not only for the Negro, but it will benefit every human being in this country if we were just freed.
What do the people in your movement think about Dr. Martin Luther King and his approach to this whole problem?
Well, I couldn't just say in Mississippi, because people have different feelings about Dr. King.
They feel that he's accepting too slow a rate of progress?
Well, to me, it is somewhat slow, but Dr. King's organization do have some great people like Mrs. Septima P. Clark that wrote the book Echoes in My Soul is a great woman, and there's quite a few other people that I admire in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and respect. But I take this stand with any person, a person that was born in the middle class that have never had to suffer. You know, he can afford to take things maybe easier than I can, and all I've ever done was suffered, you see. In fact, a person that's born in the middle class and have always had things somewhat decent, he can't make a decision for me because he actually don't know how I feel.
You know, when we mention middle class and middle class Negroes, I'm thinking of Leroy Jones, who's middle class Negro, but is one of the most violent of the young Negro writers and lecturers. How do your people feel about him?
Well, in Mississippi, it's not too many people know Leroy Jones, although I know Leroy Jones. But it's a wonder every Negro in the United States didn't feel exactly like Leroy Jones. It's enough to have happened to us that we should all, you know, if we wanted to feel like that. But I've never been, you know, my parent brought me up as Christian people, and I believe strongly in Christianity. And to me, if I hate you because you hate me, I'm no better than you are. And I don't hate a person because they hate me. I'll try to free that person too.
Are there any people you see among the people who are speaking for the Negro, apart from the people you've mentioned in your own organization, for instance, Louis Lomax or James Baldwin or people like that, that you regard as being significant now for the future?
Yes, I think James Baldwin is a great man. I have great respect for James Baldwin.
Mm-hmm. Are you hopeful of the future for your party politically?
Yes, I'm hopeful for the future of this party because all across this country, we have young people that's very aware of what's going on in this country.
Your membership is largely young people, is it?
In the state, members of the Freedom Democrat Party will have to be 21. Mm-hmm. But we have so many other people, you see, out of the state of Mississippi is very concerned about the Mississippi Freedom Democrat Party.
Yes, but I mean, people say 21 to 30. Are they most, is it in that age group you find most of your membership in Mississippi?
No, we have people from, I would say, 21 to 75.
Including a lot of older people then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They've given up their old attitude of accepting things.
Yes.
They have nothing to lose now.
In fact, some of the young workers there said that they had never been in a place that had as many older people working as we have in Mississippi.
Will you be standing for election at the next congressional elections?
Well, we plan to run people, you know. In fact, we have people in Sunflower County, where I live, as we hope to run for circuit clerk in Sunflower County. And we will be having people to run all over the state for state election, county, on up to the United States representative and senators, too.
I suppose money is always a problem.
Oh, money is always a problem.
More than for the other parties, though.
Yes.
Do you find you can get a space in the newspapers and radio stations? And
we hope to have, if we have enough money. We don't always have enough money, but we've been broke all our lives, so we go sometime without it, you know.
Mrs. Hamer, I must let you get back to your friends. Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome, and thank you.
And that's this edition of From the Vault, Mississippi Freedom Summer, and Fannie Lou Hamer. This program was produced by Haunani Singer, executive producer Brian DeShazer, and the Pacifica Radio Archives.